Al Gore's cable network was bought earlier this year by Al Jazeera America for $500 million. And now, with a base in Current's old offices by the Giants baseball stadium, Al Jazeera America has been broadcasting for a couple of months. It's a heady expansion by the Al Jazeera network, which launched in 1996 with funding from the Emir of Qatar. And it's grown rapidly over the years, now employing over 3,000 people in more than 60 countries. One of its international correspondents is Sebastian Walker. For over a decade, he's reported from Iraq and Haiti and now works out of San Francisco on an Al Jazeera America TV program called Fault Lines. As part of our series about the changing face of news media, KALW's Ben Trefney asked Walker what's different about reporting around the world today.
Well, I think it's changed massively over the course of my career. I started off with the Iraq war. I was a news reporter on the ground. I was basically what's known as a stringer, somebody who is a local hire that runs around, you know, reporting the bare facts of a story for a news agency. I worked for Reuters news agency based in Baghdad. It was one of the first jobs that I had. And at that time, the internet wasn't really as developed and sophisticated as it is now. So the reports that I was filing were often down the phone with people typing away on a keyboard at the end of the phone. There was no, you know, smartphone access or way of sending the story. Sometimes I went to a local internet cafe with a very dodgy connection to file this story. But I think in the time that since then, the conflicts that have come subsequently have been much more covered by bloggers and people able to file their stories very quickly with very little equipment. And I think that's really revolutionized the way that these wars are reported and really made it much easier for people to get out there and become journalists and actually have that news reported immediately and to much more people than ever was possible before.
So has that then, it brings up a couple questions for me. One is, if it's limited, then the number of people who are working in that industry, because it can be reported so much more quickly and perhaps comprehensively because you could turn it around so much faster. But also then who it is who's reporting on these conflicts, say, as we saw with the Arab Spring, for example, there was a lot of people who were on Twitter, for example, sharing stories. So how have those effects manifested?
Definitely. I think it's democratized the information. I mean, people can just go out there and do it. You can do things that were only available to a very small number of people in the past. But I think also what it's opened up is the citizen reporting from, you know, these cities like Cairo or Benghazi. When these revolutions are happening, you can get updates in real time by following somebody on Twitter. And I think it's really improved the situation a great deal. There's a lot more information out there. But I guess sometimes also we may get to a point where there's so much volume of material that sometimes you get lost in the detail and it's very difficult to actually get a real sense of the story. So I think at some point it will return back and people will start to kind of be more interested in more conventional reporting in the past. But at the moment, it's just, you know, for the situation that people on the ground go through with getting the news out there, it's just made things so much more easier. And you see this new generation of war reporters now going to these cities and covering these conflicts. I remember when I went to Baghdad when I was 25, and a lot of people were saying this was, you know, a very foolhardy thing to do. This, you know, there was a small group of us living in a house in the middle of Baghdad, putting out a newspaper called the Baghdad Bulletin. It was an English language newspaper. And at that time, the war had just finished. The invasion was maybe 2 or 3 weeks old. And we were catching taxis around the city, reporting on essentially local news and printing this newspaper with a circulation of around 10,000. And it was something that was criticized by a lot of the more established journalists, saying that, you know, without the relative experience of reporting from that kind of a situation, you really shouldn't be there. That's a risk that's not worth taking. But then when you look at what happened in Libya, there's a whole slew of young 20-something reporters, photographers that just went out there with, you know, small cameras, smartphones, laptops, and just did the kind of work that very established correspondents would do in the past. And it's definitely changed things. And I think in some respect, there's no going back.
That's Sebastian Walker. He is a foreign reporter working with Al Jazeera America. I've heard criticism of coverage of the Arab Spring when it was first starting up, especially in Cairo, actually, where there were reporters who were talking about and then referring to people who were tweeting regularly about what was happening. But the criticism that I saw was that the people who were tweeting were those who had access to smartphones and technology, and that was a very limited portion of the population. Therefore, it was a limited perspective that they were gathering and reporting as if it were the entire country. Have you had thoughts about this?
That's a really interesting question, yeah. And I think that's something that often does get lost when you see, let's say, Western news organizations reporting on these revolutions, say in Iran, for example. I think Iran's a very good example of that, that there was this huge amount of information on Twitter and on Facebook, and you know, it looked, if you were following those sources of information, like there was an overwhelming support for you know, anti-government protest and for revolution. And yeah, I do think you really need to bear in mind that this is, you know, the more, I guess, essentially middle class sector of the population that has access to those tools. So you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, the overall perspective of the street. I mean, this is something that the U.S. Policymakers are confronted with all the time, the State Department, and, you know, trying to get a sense of how much support and what should the U.S. policy be to kind of support the revolutions that they see happening on the street.
So what do you think the American audience wants, then? What is it that media organizations are responding to, and how and why has that changed?
Well, I first came to the U.S. to work as a journalist in January 2008 to cover the election. I was a beat reporter on the campaign trail going around when Al Jazeera's U.S. operation, for Al Jazeera English at least, was pretty new. So the whole experience of being here as an Al Jazeera correspondent was pretty different. At that time, there was a lot of stigma attached to Al Jazeera and interest in what was going on in the Middle East and how that filtered into, you know, the stories that we would do over here. For example, you know, returning troops or presidential candidates' policy on Iraq. I think times have changed and that now those issues are a lot more important to Americans.
So do you think then that there's more global curiosity at this point in 2013 than there was back then, 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, versus, say, interest in celebrity sightings and things like that, that perhaps more news organizations are turning to?
I think so, and that's what I hear from the people that I meet on the road when we go around and film stories within the U.S. There definitely seems to be...
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they?
Well, certainly I think there's a fatigue of the type of news that a lot of people get right now, the personality-driven talking heads, you know, often celebrity-focused type of news that you get on the U.S. mainstream networks. I think people are tired of that, and whatever side of the political divide you sit on, I think people are starting to switch off that kind of news.
That's so, not just wishful thinking on your part?
I think the numbers demonstrate that. The viewing figures are going down. The established news organizations are struggling to keep people watching this type of news. So, and I think that's recognized by those organizations too. They're changing the way that they report the news. They're bringing social media into the discussion a lot more. Certainly, I think there's an appetite for something new, something different, and, you know, a new way of doing the news and a different perspective. That's something that I've heard a lot on the road, and a lot more than when I first arrived in the country.